Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway on this Monday, April 15th, tax day. Yes, I'm still waiting for my accountant to call me. Should I be worried? I think I am. Our old accountant retired and said, here, we suggest this new accountant. They've had my taxes since February, and trust me, it's not as hard as Warren Buffett's to figure out. So sometime today, I hope they call me, because they've been promising they'll be calling me every day for a week, but that's okay. It's tax day. I'm sure I'll own a huge, we have your taxes done, Miss Griffith, and you owe $10,000, and I won't have any money. But I'll take my mind off of it by going to the Quincy Symphony this Saturday evening. Carmina Burana, I can't even pronounce it, so that's why Jane Paulette is here. She's going to tell us all about this. The Symphony Orchestra, the Symphony Chorus, the Youth Chorus, plus choirs from Quincy University, Culver Stockton, and John Wood, a host of soloists. I mean, this is big, 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 and you haven't done this for a while, and you may not do it again for another 20 years, so tell us all about it, Jane. We don't want to miss it.
Oh, I know. Well, I've thought to myself, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I mean, playing the violin for a long time. I've played Carmina Burana multiple times over the course of my life, and it's always thrilling. I mean, if you think about it, I've played violin for 52 years, and it's always an amazing experience to play Carmina Burana. So I'm very excited that the Quincy Symphony is doing it. The last time we did it was 2006, which was my very first year as the manager of the symphony, so that tells you something.
Well, now, did you have something to do with that, or was that just serendipity?
No, it was actually programmed by Clyde Bassett, the previous conductor of the symphony, and then he passed away unexpectedly, and so I just had to take over his programming, and that was a huge, you know, endeavor to take in the first year of my tenure. So I still have a lot of wonderful memories from it, though. It was really a great experience, and now we're doing it again. And so I thought, I don't know when we'll have another chance. Like in my career, I don't know if I'll ever have another chance to play Carmina Burana. So for me, it's even on a personal level, it's really special to be performing it.
What is it about this? What's it about? What is it about Carmina Burana that is so spectacular that everybody will want to go on Saturday night?
Well, you know, there it's a monumental piece. You know, it's almost an hour long. But with such big forces, like what you mentioned, you know, all those choirs, it's over 100 singers. I haven't counted, but I think it's probably 120, 130 singers. And then we have 70 or 80 musicians. So just the scale of it, you know, putting all those people on the stage at once. But the music itself is very interesting. Carl Orff was in the early 1900s, around 1930, 1940. So this isn't 300 years ago. And he used all the forces of the orchestra in ways that the earlier composers didn't even know or think about. For instance, this piece requires, in our case, we're using 7 percussionists, and they're all required at the same time to be playing instruments in portions of this work. So you have, you know, many, many different percussion instruments. In one place, there's 3 glockenspiels needed. I had to bring an extra glockenspiel from I had to borrow one from one of the colleges because we have one and QU has one, and then we had to find a third one. So
I mean, I remember not long ago when you didn't even have a glockenspiel, and now you're doing a piece with 3 glockenspiels. So that's crazy.
Kind of a little trivia item there. He wrote for multiple pianos, celeste. And then we have all those people on the stage, too. So logistically, it's fun to see from the audience, like, how on earth are they managing to fit all those people up there? But then the way he wrote, basically, for most people, is at the top or bottom of their possible range. For instance, the soprano has to sing a high C, which is unbelievably high, at the very top of a soprano's range. And then the baritone soloist is singing very, very low. And then there's one aria that's a roasted swan in a tavern. Well, I guess I should start by saying that there's like 25 pieces in this, but they're very short. Most of them are very short, and they were written in the medieval times. They're poems that were written in the medieval times that Carl Orff in the 1930s made into music. So, like, one of them is Men in a Tavern. It's a poem about, from the swan's perspective, he's being roasted and going to be on the plate. And Carl wrote that poem, put that poem to music, and has a tenor singing way above the normal tenor range. So this tenor sounds, I'm sorry, sickly. very sickly. Well, he's being roasted, so it's not surprising. So there's just a lot of interest in the music. And then, of course, O Fortuna, which is, people may not know what that is, but the minute they hear the first notes of it, they'll be like, oh, I recognize that, because it starts and ends the whole piece, and it's a very well-known opening about fortune and fate, and it's heard on lots of commercials and movies and, you know, in different places on TV, so people will recognize that as well.
So the whole piece is an hour, but it's broken down into smaller segments. A little audience education here. Are we supposed to clap between each of these 25 things? Are we supposed to hold our applause?
It's funny that you asked that, because I was thinking the same thing. I think people generally hold their applause between. But
isn't that the etiquette?
Because,
I mean, isn't it the etiquette that you're supposed to wait till the piece is over? But that's a long time to wait before clapping. And I find it in Quincy, people often want to applaud after every movement or whatever.
I know. And I think that's kind of hoity-toity, very stuffy kind of stuff about, when do I applaud? When don't I applaud? I mean, I feel like people should applaud when they feel led. I do feel like they should wait to applaud until the conductor puts his arms down, because sometimes something that bothers me as a musician is we have a very beautiful, quiet ending note that I would like for the note to hit the back of the Morrison Theater and to just kind of settle and then have the clapping start. And sometimes there'll always be that person who just has to jump in there and ruin that little bit of silence at the end of the piece. So I do think, you know, if you're ever unsure whether you should clap, don't just wait to see, watch the conductor. And when he puts his arms down, that's definitely your cue to go ahead and clap. And it's a very easy visual cue.
If the arms are up, restrain yourself.
So, I mean, if people want to clap after that crazy high swan aria, go for it.
Soloist will be appreciative of that. Yeah. You know, you're right. I mean, there's probably etiquette from years ago and hoity-toityness, but I think the average person who lives in Quincy doesn't know all of that. And so I'm always like, I'm never the first one to start clapping because I don't know what to do. And I know sometimes the clapping is very anemic because the people that are clapping realize, oh, nobody else is clapping. We probably shouldn't be clapping. But if you feel compelled to applaud, just wait, make sure the director's arms are down.
That's right. Okay. That's a good way. You know, sometimes with a big work like a piano concerto or something, you know, you say, oh, don't clap until the end. But after the first movement, which is usually ends with a big, huge flourish, and you feel like jumping up or clapping, it's become kind of almost traditional now for people to just go ahead and clap after that first movement. And, you know, for me as the executive director of the symphony, when I hear clapping in the wrong place, it actually kind of excites me because I think those are people who don't always come. There, you know, I love my regulars, but then I especially love to know that there's new people in the audience. So, you know, that's kind of an indication to me that there might be somebody new in the audience. So I love it.
This is the end of your season. This is the last show of the season. And tickets are $15 if you're 62 and older. So if you're a senior, you get a discount. You can buy tickets at the door for just $15, $18 for adults. And as always, children 18 and younger get in free. And of course, a lot of people that have reciprocity with Quincy University, Culver Stockton, they'll be getting in on their student IDs. You can get your tickets in advance at Sturhans, at Hy-Vee, or at QuincySymphonyOrchestraAssociation.org, QSOA.org, or you can buy them at the door. And certainly $18 to see this production, which again has not been here for almost 20 years and may not be here again for another 20 years because there are so many great symphonic pieces. You can't do them all every year and you have to pick and choose. Another thing that's happening is the drawing, the raffle. And let's talk a little bit about that because it will be at intermission.
That's right.
Somebody will become a thousandaire, I guess. And so tell us a little bit about that and how we can get tickets.
Well, it's the 19th year for the raffle. It's just one of our ways of bringing in another income stream because, as you mentioned, those ticket prices are quite low and also lots of free tickets for people. So we really need to have other fundraisers to pay the expenses of the symphony. And the raffle is one of the ways we do that. Tickets are only $10 a piece, and there's also a second and third prize that people can get. One is a travel prize, which is like an Amtrak gift card and free tickets to the Chicago Symphony and the St. Louis Symphony. So those are fun prizes as well. There's free tickets to the symphony, free season tickets to the symphony. That's a third prize. So we really have a goal of raising $10,000. And I mentioned we're only up to 6,000 right now, which we have a lot of years, 19 years of history with this raffle. And the 6,000 level at this point is a little bit low for what we're used to. So people, you know, need to sell their tickets. All of our musicians and Encore and the board, and they all are selling tickets. So I'm hoping that that folks just don't seem to know that it's happening this year. And as you know, it's difficult to get the word out about just about anything these days. So.
It is. Well, and part of that is, you know, the more information streams we have, in a sense, the less educated we are. It used to be you turned on your radio, you listened to WTAD, and that was about your only source for information. Now, everybody's got a Facebook page, everybody's got a website. Okay, but I'm not going to monitor 10,000 different websites every day to see what's happening. I mean,
right.
You know, I know basically what's going on from our community calendar. You know, I don't go to the symphony website every day to see what you're doing.
That's right.
And that's bad, because there are a few places where I do kind of monitor them, but, you know, they're few and far between. So, yes, while we have access to information maybe more readily than ever, we have to seek it sometimes rather than saying, I'm going to listen for the community calendar at 9:10 on Monday through Friday at WTAD, and I'm going to learn about these things. So get your tickets. Buy your raffle tickets either before that date, or you can buy them that day in the lobby. Just get there early so that you can get that transaction done. Tickets are $10 a piece, or you get 12 for $100. And by golly, your odds of winning are good. I mean, it's bad
they
that you haven't
They're
sold
so
any,
good.
That you haven't sold as many as you like, but the odds of winning are much better. So, and you definitely need the money.
It's really exciting if I can pull the ticket out and have it be somebody in the audience. That's super exciting.
That is exciting. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have a final discussion with Jane Paulette, and we'll also hopefully be making contact with the Cub Scouts about their Pinewood Derby. Stay tuned. It is 9:30. We are back. Jane Paulette is here today. Carmina Burana. She has done it many times in her 52 years of playing violin. She started when she was just a baby. And people are like, how old is she? No, she started young. And they haven't done it here in Quincy since 2006, but they are doing it Saturday night at 7:30. The curtain goes up at Quincy Junior High, $18 for adults, $15 for seniors if you're 62 and older. And we will be giving away tickets to this event throughout the week here on WTAD. In addition to the raffle that helps the symphony, you also have another charity that you're involved with.
Well, we try to feature a charity at each of our concerts to help another not-for-profit out. And in this time, Kids Packs, with a very worthy cause, serves 1,200 kids a week. They send them home with a backpack on the weekend that's full of, you know, convenience foods, because some of these kids, it's tough for them to get meals when they're not in school. So things like pudding cups or cheese and cracker packs, things that are prepackaged would be the kind of donations we would like patrons to bring to the concert. We'll have somebody there from Kid Packs. They can learn more and they can bring their donations to the concert.
Yeah, this is critically important because, you know, that school meal is how many kids get their nutrition, breakfast and lunch. And on the weekends, that breakfast and lunch is not available. So if there's anything that you can put in, individual cereal boxes or anything like that, anything that can fit, you know, individual
instant
serving size,
instant oatmeal, like
all that kind of good stuff that the kids really enjoy. So bring those, and Kids Pack will be happy to receive those. And make sure you make plans now to attend Carmina Burana, Saturday, April 20th, 7:30, the last show of the season for the Quincy Symphony Orchestra. Over 120 voices on stage, about 80 people playing, including three glockenspiels playing at once. I can't wait. It'll be a first for me, that's for sure.
And
so
we have the soprano, tenor, and baritone soloists coming there from out of town, but in the region, and so they're going to be phenomenal soloists.
Yeah, hitting that high, yeah. Had to go to the semi-pros to get that done. Thank you so, so very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back and talk about the Cub Scout Pinewood Derby. But first, Shakespeare in Love. It could have been Romeo and Ethel, but it wasn't. Get your tickets now. Here's how. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and joining me now via the phone lines is the lady who represents the Boy Scouts in our community, Devin Bethel. Good morning, Devin.
Good morning.
I'm so excited. Schottenkirk Toyota is the host for the Pinewood Derby for all the Cub Scouts. Tell us what's going on out there.
Yeah, so it is our district-wide Eagle Valley Pinewood Derby, and we are going to open it up for the public. It's a free event. Racers can register at 9 a.m., and the race begins at 10 a.m., but we're open to the public starting at 10 a.m., and this event will go until noon. We're really excited because Havermill Motorsports is bringing some race cars for the kids to look at. We're going to have various activities like a regatta race where the kids can build their little boats and race them. And then we're going to have goodie bags. And while you're there, K through fifth graders can learn about our Cub Scouting program and join in on all this amazing fun that we're going to have at Schottenkirk, which Schottenkirk is sponsoring the event, which is awesome.
Inflatable archery will be set up. You're going to have some BB gun ranges. It's just a way for everybody who is a Cub Scout to come and show off their Pinewood Derby car that they made to specifications. And then other scouts who aren't participating can watch their friends. And then folks who are not involved in the scouting movement can come out, see what it's all about, 10 o'clock Saturday morning, the 20th, at Schottenkirk Toyota. People think that you have to join Boy Scouts just in August or September, but you can join Boy Scouts year-round, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually starting a new pack and pacing right now. And so we're, you know, it's all year-round. Anybody who is interested in Boy Scouts can just call us up, get their information. We're always at events. We plan on having a booth at the St. Francis Parish Picnic. So, you know, we're always around.
Okay. Cub Scouts, Pinewood Derby, the Eagle Valley District from all over this part of Missouri and Illinois will be there Saturday morning, the 20th. You can come and spectate at 10. Enter your derby car at 9 a.m. Everyone is welcome. The public can come out and watch the Pinewood Derby race. There'll be lots of activities there. It's all free for the kids. Schottenkirk Toyota, 54th and Broadway in Quincy. Thank you so very much, Devin.
Thank you.
We'll be back, and hopefully we'll be talking to Vegas McGraw. But first, Rex Battery brings you this report from the IRSA Farmers Cooperative. -942 temperatures already soaring. We're going to have a great day here in the tri-states. And joining me via the phone lines is a gentleman named Adam Tucker, who also goes by the name of Vegas McGraw. He will be at the Legacy Theater in Carthage this Saturday night, April 20th. The curtain goes up at 7 p.m. Tickets are $43, and we'll give you a number here in a moment to call the Legacy Theater to get those tickets. But welcome to the Mary Griffith Show, Adam Tucker.
Hey, thank you so much, Mary. I appreciate you having me on.
Now, obviously, you make your living doing memorable impersonations of Tim McGraw, but I want to learn about Adam Tucker first.
Okay.
Tell me a little bit of the Adam Tucker story.
Well, you know, I was born and raised in the hills of West By God, Virginia. I'm an old hillbilly. But about 14 years ago, I signed the Las Vegas contract, and I haven't looked back. And ever since then, geez, I've been all over the country, 46 U.S. states, Australia, Mexico, Canada, the British Virgin Islands, and I'm so proud of the show that I've created. So Mr. Adam D. Tucker is the hardest worker in the room and one of the hardest workers in show business. And if you come to the show Saturday night, not only are you going to get Tim McGraw music, you're going to get a piece of Vegas, too. So it's a fun, fun show. What I mean by Vegas, I might do a little Elvis, a little Johnny Cash to close the show out, but first things first, you're going to get a ton of Tim McGraw music.
Now, I've seen your picture. You look incredibly like Tim McGraw. So how did you become Vegas McGraw? Did somebody say, hey, you look like Tim McGraw? Did you say, hey, I look like Tim McGraw? Or how did that all happen?
You know, it's a long story, but I'll make it quick because I get asked the question a lot. Throughout my career, I've been very, very lucky. I've worked extremely hard, but music wasn't even in my vision. My best friend passed away about 24 years ago. And when my best friend passed away, I kind of looked at life a little different and thought, man, you know, I can get into the music business. But people were telling me, but you never even sang in front of people. I'm like, yeah, but I know I can sing. I know I got this. And plus, I sound like Tim McGraw. They're like, huh? I'm like, yeah, watch me. Watch this. So from the moment Tim McGraw came out, way around 1992, 93, as a kid, I thought, man, I sound just like this guy. It was really strange. Like every song that he came out on the radio, I'm like, watch this. I sing just like this guy. So in the back of my head, I always knew I sang like him. And then once my best friend died, it kind of kicked me in the butt to get into the entertainment world. And then obviously I try to make it as myself first. You know, I try to be Adam Tucker. I went to Nashville, recorded songs on Music Row. But all the producers from Sony to RCA, they'd be like, you've got to sing it different. You sound like Tim McGraw. I'm like, that's just how I sing. So if you can't beat him, join him, right? So around 2009, 2010, I decided to do the transfer over from Adam to Tim, and the rest is history.
Okay. Where do you call home now? Is it Las Vegas?
Yeah, I'm calling from Las Vegas. I just landed on a plane from Memphis yesterday, and now I'm in Vegas. Thursday, I'm in Arizona, and then Saturday, I'm in Illinois.
Wow. The life of travel that you must have. Obviously, you know a lot about Tim McGraw. You have an affinity. Yeah. You sound like Tim McGraw. Yes. Does Tim McGraw endorse your impersonation of Tim McGraw?
You know, you got to be careful with the word endorse. I know a lot of tribute acts want to use the word endorse. I will say this. I'll say it like this. They have allowed me to do really cool things throughout my career, such as unveiling the Tim McGraw slot machine in Vegas. I got to do that at the world-famous Gilly's Saloon here in Las Vegas. And then I've done some tornado reliefs for victims in Missouri years ago. That they signed off on me to do like a parody to one of the songs to raise money. So they have been very good to me when it comes to stuff like that. So I don't like to use the word endorse, so I'll just say they've been really good to me.
Well, the number one question that the guys want me to ask you is, does your wife look anything like, you know, Tim McGraw, like Faith Hill?
Well, you know, she's my girlfriend. We've been together for 5 years. And I think she's prettier. I think she's prettier than Faith. And I know that's hard to imagine, but my girlfriend will be with me in Illinois, and you can see for yourself. So,
okay.
Yeah, she's beautiful. But I'm so excited to be there. I've never been to Carthage. I've never been to the Legacy Theater. I hear wonderful things about it. We just need to sell some tickets, get some people out there. And trust me, this is not your just standing up there singing a country show. This is the high-energy, fun tribute act that I'm very proud of, and you're going to get your money's worth.
Absolutely. Tickets are on sale. And, you know, you mentioned Carthage, never been to Carthage. You know, obviously, yeah. There are showrooms in Las Vegas that are small and intimate, and then there are showrooms that are, you know, have thousands and thousands of seats.
Yeah.
You know, this is an intimate space, but you are going to be blown away by the professional acoustics, the way the sound is. The Legacy Theater has a lot to be proud of, and they are trying very, very diligently to get top name acts like Vegas McGraw, like yourself, to come and sing. And I always say, you know, $43 and a half a tank of gas at the most, or quarter tank of gas to get to Carthage is nothing compared to what you'd have to pay to go see Tim McGraw in concert.
Yeah.
Even, and that's just if you can get tickets and if he's touring. So, you know.
Right. And the cool thing is I meet and greet with everyone. So after the show, I come out and I meet, shake hands, take pictures with everyone in attendance. So come on over and meet me. I'd love to talk to everybody there at Carthage. I've heard wonderful things. They've been great to me. Some of you folks might have seen me on the TV show. I don't know if you did, Mary, but About 2.5 years ago, I won episode 3, season 1 on the TV show produced by Jimmy Fallon called Clash of the Cover Bands. I won that Ask Tim McGraw. And so that helps out a bunch, too, you know.
Yeah. Well, Tim McGraw, you know, like you said, obviously extremely popular. People that like his music want to go and experience Tim McGraw. But they're going to see a little bit of Adam Tucker, too. As you mentioned, it's predominantly a Tim McGraw tribute show, but there will be other aspects of it that you do that bring your Las Vegas, touch to this. About how long is this show?
It's a 90-minute show. But you're exactly right. You hit right on it. So what I try to do is, just like you wanted to learn a little bit about Adam, you know, when I come out there, you know, as Tim McGraw, and it's fun and it's such a great show, I kind of say, wait a second, that's Tim McGraw. Now you want to learn a little bit about Adam. I'm going to give you some of my big influences growing up as a kid. And then I flip the switch and do an Elvis tune or a Jerry Lee Lewis tune. So it's just such a fun show. I'm so proud of it. And the Tim McGraw fans are going to go crazy because we cover so many hits. I mean, everything from Don't Take the Girl up to Live Like You're Dying to Real Good Man to Gosh, I Like It, I Love It, something like that. All the big hits, we're going to cover them, that's for sure.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Tim McGraw didn't know who Tim McGraw was for a while. Found out his dad was Tug McGraw and that whole thing and how he met Faith. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Everybody has a story. And if you're drawn to a country music genre, like, storytelling is what it's all about.
Yes, it is. And my love for Tim McGraw music is insane. I mean, to this day, you know, I've got a 50th anniversary Corvette sitting out here in the garage in Las Vegas. I never get to drive it because I'm on the road. But, you know, it still has a CD player in it. A lot of cars don't have CD players. But if you were to go in that Corvette right now and hit the CD player and hit the eject button, it would be Tim McGraw for sure, 100%. So I listen to his music nonstop. I've studied everything he's done. And so you're going to get the real deal. I mean, I think people are really going to love it. You just got to get your tickets to the Legacy Theater for this Saturday night, Vegas McGraw. I'm coming all the way from Las Vegas. You know, that should say something. Come on.
He's going to make an effort to get here, folks. I don't know. They've told you there's no direct flight from Las Vegas to Carthage International Airport, right?
Yes, I'm very aware of that. Very aware. That's okay. I love the smaller town and the smaller venues. And like I said, it's a great chance to meet me as well. I think the theater holds around 400 or 500 people, so we just need to fill the place up and, you know, represent Carthage. I want to meet everybody.
And you'll have that chance. It's going to be great. The Legacy Theater, here's the phone number to call, 217-357-9479. That's 357-9479. Call for tickets or go to thelegacytheater.org, thelegacytheater.org, and get your tickets. And again, they're only $43. There isn't a bad seat in the place. A lot of people get up and start dancing around. We're at the very front. How many people are you bringing to back you up? How big of a show is this?
There's only going to be, you know, 4 to 5 of us on stage, you know, but we're all coming from Las Vegas, all professional musicians, and it's just a fun evening of music. And, you know, it's talking about people getting up and dancing out in the crowd and stuff. You know, there's a time in the show where I jump off the stage and I might get to set on some lucky girl's lap and sing a song to her. So
oh,
that's probably going to happen.
What? I got to ask you a question. When wasn't it Taylor Swift who had a song that said that had Tim McGraw? It was a song about Tim McGraw, right? It was about Taylor Swift crushing on Tim McGraw. So
yeah, it's the first song she ever came out with. Yeah.
Yeah. So before you met your Faith Hill 5 years ago, did you ever think maybe Taylor might crush on you, or was that ever? Did your paths ever cross?
Well, so I don't know if you know this, it's hard. I've got such a storied career. So throughout my career, I've been the opening act for Taylor Swift, Blake Shelton, Reba McEntire, Luke Bryant, Charlie Daniels, Tracy Lawrence, all the big stars. I've been their opening act throughout my career. So yeah, I got to meet Taylor Swift and do shows with her when she first got started. The last show I did with her was in Ohio. But yeah, she was great to me, her family, she signed guitars for my niece and my friend. And I should have got a guitar signed, but I wasn't even thinking of myself. So I got everybody else to get a guitar from her, but not me.
Maybe you'll open for her again sometime. And now that you're safely ensconced in your relationship, and I don't think you want to mess with Travis Kelce, so just get her to sign the guitar and let it go at that. Adam Tucker, we're looking forward to seeing you. Safe travels as you and your band come over to the Legacy Theater in Carthage. It is Saturday night, April 20th, 7 p.m. The curtain will go up, and you're going to have a very high-energy, high-octane show. And we hope that we show you our Midwest courtesy and that you get to enjoy some of the food favorites from the Carthage area as well. And what's the one thing that you love the most doing in your show?
Well, there's a lot of songs, right? A lot of different songs mean a lot of different things to me. Like Indian Outlaw, it goes back to my high school days. Our mascot was the Indian, so I was the all-state quarterback. You know, we went to the state championship football game. So, you know, having Indian Outlaw being played, you know, while you're walking to the football game or whatever was such a thrill to me as a high school kid. So, like I said, his music has always been with me. Then I go back to Just to See You Smile. You know, that's Song of the Year in 1998. I remember I was applying for a warehouse job. When I heard that song, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just kept it on repeat, you know. And then with the passing of my best friend, you know, right around the year 2000, Live Like You're Dying came out in 2004. And it just, so many songs when I'm on stage mean so much to me. So it's hard to pick my favorite, you know. And a lot of artists say the same thing. They all mean different things to them. And even though they're not Vegas McGraw songs or Tim McGraw songs, they still mean so much to me.
Well, that is the sign of a true great, and that is Tim McGraw. His life is the soundtrack to our life. And so when you're singing up there, every single person in the audience is going to have a memory of the first time they heard the song or who they were with or what happened with it. It's all going to be fantastic. It's all going to be happening. And that's what makes music that great connector. Folks, get your tickets. The Legacy Theater, do not wait. We hope for a sellout, and we want a sellout, but we want everybody who wants to see Vegas McGraw, also known as Adam Tucker, perform to call today, 217-357-9479, or go online and get your tickets there at the box office. Adam, safe travels. Enjoy Las Vegas. Thanks for getting up extra early this morning to talk to me, Central Standard Time. We greatly appreciate it. You have a great day.
Mary, thank you so much, and I'll see you guys Saturday.
See you Saturday. Thank you. 9:55 at Talk Radio 930 WTAD. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.